Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Hello, welcome to Relax the Podcast. I'm Colleen Ballinger, here with my bestie from another mestie, Christina.
Mestie?
Yeah, Christina's. I almost said your maiden name. I will never not call you by your maiden name.
I've been married for a very long time.
I know. I'm sorry. It's just like, I can't get out of my head.
That's fine.
If you are listening and not watching today, you'll hear that it's not my husband's voice.
What?
It's my best friend,
what?
Christina's voice.
We're not married?
Yeah, because I'm not near Eric right now. Because I'm in Paris. So yeah, Teenie's going to help me out with the podcast, at least a little bit of the podcast this week. We'll see what happens. We're both very tired and very jet lagged. Teenie is pretty desperate to fall asleep right now. She's being a very good sport and helping me out.
But I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not tired.
But we decided last minute to fly to Paris to see Taylor Swift and hang out here for Mother's Day because we're insane. And so now we're here. And
we came for like 2 days. Can
yeah.
we just like process that? We flew all the way across the world for 2 full days in Paris.
I know. It's pretty wild. And it's because the tickets were cheaper for us to fly all the way here, have a hotel, go see the Eras Tour here in Paris than it was to get a ticket in America.
That's wild.
The tickets in America are like $3,000, $4,000. There's so much money. It's crazy. But we go back home in the morning. So that's why Teenie and I both desperately need to go to bed because we fly home tomorrow. But first, we're going to chat with you guys.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! So I, every week on this little podcast show that we have, we say who we think needs to relax. And I have one.
I do too.
You do?
And I actually think that we have the same one.
Really?
I feel like we might be telepathic right now.
There's no way.
We need to relax.
Okay, I do agree with that.
You and I need to relax.
Yes.
The last week has been wild.
Mm-hmm.
I think it started last Sunday when I was like, hey, check out this TikTok. Let's go to Paris.
Yes.
And your response was, okay.
Right.
That's not normal.
No.
Relax.
Yes.
But also, like, I shouldn't have even said that because I would have, I know better.
Well,
I know better.
You know better because we are very similar brains. Because the problem is that both of us thought, that's easy. We could do that. we could probably fly to Paris and back. We have 3 kids and husbands and families and responsibilities and jobs and all these things. We can go to Paris.
But we can go to Paris. No biggie. And we're here. So we accomplished it. But it was by no means no biggie.
It was, yeah. It's just now settling in our minds that, like, oh, we're going home tomorrow and we haven't really slept in a few days.
I didn't have a passport 7 days ago.
I know.
Like, I still think about that. I haven't slept in so long because I've had to wake up so early every single morning at home to make sure I have a passport.
And somehow she got one.
I got one and I'm here.
She had a passport. It just was expired.
I was really busy and I didn't notice when it expired. And this trip really kicked me in the butt and said, get your passport together. So now I can go anywhere.
This trip told you that?
It was actually Taylor Swift.
This trip, actually, the whole reason we went was just to get Christina to renew her passport. That's why.
Correct.
Yes, that's my relax is always for me to relax and for us to relax. But it actually is a different one.
Oh, I'm shocked.
My relax is how I, and someone's going to explain this to me and make me feel really dumb, I'm sure, in the comments, but why does Paris hate the caps of water bottles?
Oh, what is that? That's a really good question.
And I'm sure there's a very good explanation that I don't understand just yet, but so, and I'm sure it would take me approximately 5 seconds to Google this and find out the answer. But we went to the concert and it was fabulous. But you're not allowed to have the top of your the cap of a water bottle at the show. And every time we have bought water bottles anywhere in Paris, they're like chained to the plastic bottle. They're so hard, you can't get it off. It is very much attached. And I mean, Teeny took hers off.
Oh, I ripped mine off.
You're
just
very
like
strong.
I ripped my
okay,
skin.
Fine. You have super strength. Whatever.
I was going to say that it must have something to do with like saving the earth and plastic and making sure the caps don't go into the ocean because of microplastic and all of that stuff. But then why would they remove it fully when we got to the concert and give us an open bottle of water? Which, by the way, the people sitting behind us, they didn't put their water bottle in front of their seat. They put it in front of their seat and down one level,
like,
which meant
under
it
our
was
seats.
Under my seat, and it definitely tipped over.
I think everyone's water bottle tipped over, but no one had caps on their water bottle, so there's water everywhere. So I just, and also as a woman, and as, you know, as a woman who's been taught to, just in general in life, and as a human, you're not supposed to have just open drinks
correct.
Available for people to do whatever to. Like, there's always a lid on what I drink, and I like to make sure I'm always have my eyes on it if there's not a lid on what I drink. So to put my water bottle with the cap off, like, down on the ground.
With 40,000 people.
Yes. I was like, this can't be safe. So I just, what is that?
I don't know. That's a really good question. I honestly thought that it was something to do with, like, the ocean and saving the earth, but that doesn't
Maybe.
Make sense.
I don't know.
But also, wait, going back to the whole 40,000 people with open bottles.
Mm-hmm.
One of the observations I made at the concert last night was how no one was drinking.
There was alcohol there, though.
There was, but everyone was just so excited to be there. And I feel like you would go to a concert like that and witness people drinking a lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's the demographic.
There was a lot. No, there was. It wasn't just little, like, young people. Like, it was like...
And we're in France. They start drinking a lot. Or it's legal to start drinking here a lot earlier. But I noticed that that wasn't the priority. People were not lining up to get alcohol. People were lining up to get merch. I saw a lot of people with water bottles, and everyone was just dancing and singing the whole night.
I think that there's an amount of focus you have to have when you're listening to and paying attention to Taylor Swift lyrics. If you're a Swiftie and you enjoy her music, I feel like, at least for me, I can't speak for everyone else, but I want to be so present. I feel like my brain has to be 100% in order to, like, really process and understand, like, her music in the way that I want to appreciate it. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it, but also, I don't know that everyone else feels that way. I don't know. But I guess you're right. I didn't see many people drinking. There was alcohol there, though. I saw them selling it, and I saw a couple guys drinking it.
I'd love to know, like, the statistics behind it. Of the alcohol consumption at Taylor Swift concerts versus other concerts at the same stadiums.
You know what's funny is that is something that was brought up a lot when I would tour back in the day. Back in the day, as if it was 78 years ago. Feels
it
like
yesterday.
It a little bit. But back when I toured, that was something the staff would always talk about after the show. They'd be like, we sold no alcohol tonight, but we sold so much soda.
Welcome to my demographic.
They would always, and I'd always be like, I'm sorry, because I always feel bad, because I feel like the bar oftentimes, and like bartenders would rely on that.
Yeah.
But they were never upset, because they're like, no, we made up for it in candy sales, in soda sales, because my audience was typically, you know, teens, college age, and then their parents, or like a lot of people would come with their mom and whatever. And just there weren't usually a lot of people drinking at my shows in the second half of my career. The first half of my career, I feel like I was mostly performing at bars and drag clubs and whatever. So back then, everyone was drinking or drunk at my performances.
I feel like they probably appreciated it because they're not dealing with a bunch of sloppy, drunk people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I noticed last night, is that as we were leaving the stadium, there were 40,000 people there. It was very much a sold-out show. We were there for a very long time, and no one was rude.
No one was rude. No.
Everyone was so gracious and kind. And I feel like that's kind of how the entire trip has been.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone has been so kind to us, from, like, the waiter tonight who let us take a dish home because we wanted to take our creme brulee to go. It's just an observation that I made when we were at this concert, because I feel like most concerts, like, if you were to go to LA or something, it would be 40,000 people drinking.
I totally agree with you. Everyone here in Paris has been the sweetest. Every single person we have spoken to since we got to Paris has been so freaking nice. And at the Taylor Swift concert, everyone was nice too. I think Swifties, every Swiftie that I've ever come in, you know, close contact with has been lovely and kind and sweet and just great. Yeah. And it's exciting to meet someone else who's excited and passionate about the same thing as you. So it was just like exciting to be around all those other people. And that actually was my favorite part of the whole concert. Like, obviously I loved so many of the songs. Like, I have a whole list of my favorite moments of Taylor actually singing, but my actual favorite part of the concert was watching other Swifties be so excited to watch Taylor Swift on stage. Like, to watch people have such pure joy and excitement and passion, and just knowing that they're screaming these lyrics and thinking about a specific thing in their head. Like, looking around and seeing someone like close their eyes and look, you know, emotional singing a lyric. I'm like, I know they're thinking about a certain breakup that they had, or their mom, or, you know, someone who used to be in their life but isn't anymore, or they're thinking about someone they love so much, or, you know, like, just knowing that each one of these individual people who's screaming these lyrics at the top of their lungs was imagining something personal to them in their life that is related to that lyric for them. And it was just like, it made me want to cry every time I watched someone else singing along with her, because I was like, what? I want to know your story, but also, like, how cool that someone else has connected to her music just as much as I have. Like, I don't know. I just loved it.
It was so great. Her lyrics, her music is personal to every single person who listens to it. We're not listening because it's her story. I feel like the way that her music works is that she writes it because it's something that she went through or something that she thought up in her head. But every single person who listens to that music can relate to it in their own way.
Yeah.
And I feel like I tried to explain this to you a few weeks ago, and I sound like the biggest nerd.
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
I know. Oh, I remember this. Yes. And you didn't sound like a nerd.
Well, I'm about to sound like a big nerd. and I'm really tired, so forgive me if I misspell or mispronounce things.
Are we going to spell?
Not spelling anything. I'm tired. Okay. So the way that I was picturing Swifties, because I would consider myself a fairly new Swiftie. I went to the Red concert. That was like 12 years ago. But since Folklore came out, I feel like that's when I really started listening mm-hmm. and hearing the lyrics. And then since Midnights came out in the last year, I've really gotten into it. And I feel like there is this network of Swifties around the world, and we're all connected. And I felt that last night. I didn't know anyone there. We're in France. But I felt like I was connected.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, there were these kids sitting in the row in front of us, or I don't know, they must have been. They're kids if they're under 30.
I don't think they were kids. I think they're probably maybe in their 20s or yeah. something like that. But
they were definitely adults.
Yeah.
But the children, and they, like, I felt a connection to them.
Mm-hmm.
When she started Folklore and those girls were just screaming at the top of their lungs.
Singing Betty and like I was like, me too. I feel the same way.
And like I just remember when that album came out and we were all stuck at home. We didn't know what was going to happen. And like I get emotional thinking about it because those kids were probably in high school or in college and they were thinking the exact same thing that we were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And this music connected everyone. And then we got to experience it in person.
Yeah, it was like, really cool.
Honestly, the way I've been describing it to my friends at home, it was a life-altering night.
It was really fun. It was so, yeah, it really was. It was super cool. And it was nice. We're very proud of ourselves that we took this banana pants trip all the way to Paris to see her. And we kind of just did this for ourselves, like as moms who work a lot, very dedicated moms who don't have a lot of free time to like take time and go just be best friends in Paris and see someone perform music that means a lot to us. It was just very special.
It was really special.
It was very fun. But what's with the water bottle caps?
We digress.
That's the real question at hand.
I don't know the answer, but somebody is going to have the answer.
Yeah, please tell us the answer. We don't know what the answer is, but please let us know if you know. Actually, maybe I'll Google it really fast and I'll let you guys know. What? Okay, I just Googled it and this answer does not make any sense to me at all. Okay, it says stadiums sell bottled drinks without bottle caps for security reasons to prevent people from bringing in outside beverages and to minimize the risk of injury or damage to facilities and other patrons. The capless bottles also make it easier to quickly identify what has been purchased within the venue and what has not. Wait, I still don't understand. Wait, so to prevent people from bringing in outside beverages, okay. So why not just say don't bring in outside beverages? What does that have to do? So you can bring in a water bottle without a cap on it, but you can't bring in...
But then I saw people just leaving their whole water bottles on the sidewalk, like as we were going through security. So I don't even... I think it was dependent on the security guard because they weren't letting people bring anything in.
Minimize risk of injury or damage to facilities and other patrons. Are you going to throw a water bottle, plastic water bottle cap at someone?
I know. That doesn't make sense.
What? I still feel like I don't get it. So on this blog site, it says, why do vendors at sporting events take off bottle caps? Someone said, when I worked at a football ground, I was told that it was because if you throw an empty bottle without a lid and someone steps on it, it just crushes. If you throw a bottle with a lid on, then it doesn't crush and you can make someone fall over. Not sure if that reason is exclusive to where I worked, but it's what I was told. Someone else says, I think it's so that if you throw it and tend to strike somebody with it, it loses most of its mass and therefore useless as a weapon.
Who are these violent people going to concerts and throwing water bottles?
I don't know. It's so interesting because in America, we can't take in backpacks or anything. It has to be a clear, completely transparent, see-through, like fanny pack size bag. Like it has to be small and some venues you can take a bigger bag, but like it has to be completely freaking transparent. And here they don't care if they bring in anything. Like they literally, I mean, they check it, obviously.
I don't think that you were allowed to bring in any bigger bags.
Okay.
So we had small bags, so it wasn't an issue, but I don't think a backpack was allowed.
Okay, that makes sense. But they did check what was inside. But the water bottle caps, that was the only thing I felt like they were super strict on. But I guess, it doesn't, as someone who's been on stage and performed, the idea of someone throwing a water bottle at me, that is very terrifying.
That's very scary.
And so I guess that does make sense. I'm glad they're doing something to keep the performers safe, that we're like, if a water bottle gets thrown at them, the momentum will lose force as like water falls out of it on the way to them. Is that, I guess that's the vibes? That's what they're going for?
I don't know. I'm going to come full circle. And maybe if you don't want people throwing water bottles, don't serve them so much alcohol.
But water's not alcohol.
Right, but people throw water bottles out of anger, and it's probably because they're drinking too much.
Interesting.
But no one at the Taylor Swift concert was throwing water bottles.
That's true. No one was. They were spilling them, though. Lots of
everywhere.
Spillage.
All right. I was stressed about that because
Me
I had
too.
My merch, and I got posters.
Did their posters get wet?
They didn't, but I was so stressed. That's why I kept putting it up on my seat. But then the seat would fall down and I had this much space to dance. God. It all worked out. And I'm really, really, really happy we were there.
Yes, me too. And I'm really happy that we got to come do this together. And we might or might not podcast a little more during our layover tomorrow because we have a very long layover. So you're either going to hear us talking more at the airport tomorrow or you're going to hear me when I get back home. But we're going to call it a night right now because Teenie here has traveled with me a lot since the beginning of my career. And she was back performing with me at, not performing, but like stage managing and helping me at my shows in bars and basements of restaurants and drag clubs and nightclubs and all that way back in the beginning of my career. And then all through when I started to work at theaters and whatnot. So she's been through it all and she's traveled a lot with me and without me. And she knows she needs to sleep right now or else she's going to not be my friend anymore starting tomorrow. So I'm not going to let that happen. We're going to go to bed.
Yeah, the latter is not true, but I do need to sleep.
Okay. So maybe we'll see you guys tomorrow at the airport. Maybe not, but we're going to go to bed. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Hello, everyone. It is the next day, and I'm probably the most uncomfortable I have ever been while podcasting because I'm currently on the airplane. And I'm headed to Los Angeles, and I'm hoping that this works. I have the mic right up next to my mouth, and I'm trying to talk as quietly as possible so that I don't disturb everyone else on the plane. But I feel very, very uncomfortable. I'm not going to have Teenie do this one with me because I don't want to disturb her watching her show. And also, I'm talking so quiet that she probably wouldn't be able to hear me, even if we did try to converse right now. But I hate the idea that people are watching me and can see me podcasting right now. I'm so freaking uncomfortable, especially because the layout of this airplane is like there are seats that are facing backwards. So there's like literally people staring directly at my soul right now. Like there are people facing me like 2 feet away from me, like can and looking at me. They can't hear me because the plane is loud, but hopefully you guys can hear me. That's all that matters. I have a few things I wanted to talk about before I landed home. And by the time I get home, it's going to be way too late to podcast with Eric. Our flights got delayed, and I'm probably not going to be home till after midnight. So to ask him to stay awake to podcast with me when I get home, it would be very unkind after he so graciously watched the kids while I was gone so that I could have this magical trip. So I want him to get his rest as much as possible after doing that for me. So I'm just going to finish up the podcast right here on the airplane with you, the Mile High Club, guys. My first and hopefully last ever podcast from thousands of miles high in the sky. But there were a few things that I had written down that need to relax and just things I wanted to talk about in general from my trip. And the one thing I feel like that does not need to relax at all, like because it's maybe my favorite thing on the planet, is all of the butter that I had in Paris. The butter in Paris is literally unbelievably delicious. It is salty. It is creamy. It is just, it is so rich. It's so good. Like I just wanted to eat bread all day. Even if the bread wasn't good, just because I wanted to put butter on it. I wanted to put butter on literally everything on the planet. By the way, there's a woman who is glaring at me right now, and it is very distracting. I don't think she likes that I'm talking about butter. Anyway, so that does not need to relax. I could literally live on Parisian butter. It was amazing. Something that does need to relax, kind of in Europe in general, and I know for a fact I've talked about it on the podcast before, is ice. I don't know why, but people in everywhere that I've been to in Europe, they do not like ice. I have to beg for like 2 cubes of ice. And I am a weirdo who likes to have my drinks frigid, frigid cold. Like I want the ice to be overflowing the cup before you put a liquid in it. And they don't do that there. So finding ice was difficult. And I just want to know why that is. I think someone explained it to me once. It's because if there's too much ice in your cup, then you don't get as much drink. And there aren't as many free refills in different European places. So they don't want to like spend money on a drink and then they can't get a free refill. And so, you know, you get more liquid if you don't have ice in it. Is that the real reason? I don't know. Anyway, I was very happy when we got off of our first flight. We had a connection in Washington, D.C., and I had this magical moment when I got off the plane and there was this couple, and they said something that made me smile and made me miss Eric and also made me feel normal, because if there's one thing that Eric and I fight about, the one thing in this world, it is... Well, I think our biggest tiff we ever have is what we're going to eat for dinner. Trying to figure out food is always very annoying. We don't like doing that. But other than that, I think the biggest tiff that we get in, it's who sleeps more. Who got more sleep the night before? This is a argument we have literally every single day. And when I say argument, we don't fight. It's just like a competition. That's a better word. It's a competition. And it's not on purpose. It just naturally comes out. If I say, oh my gosh, I did not sleep at all last night, I only got 3 hours, Eric will immediately come back with, yeah, I only got 2. Like, he always has to one-up me with how little he slept. And he's not here to defend himself, so I will say I do the exact same thing to him. We go back and forth about who slept the least, and it's always very serious, and I don't know why we are not capable of just saying to each other, like, oh no, I'm so sorry you didn't sleep well. I didn't sleep well either. Like, that's like such a better thing to say than to like make it a competition. I don't know why we're not capable of doing that. But anyway, we got off the flight and there's this couple. And the guy said to his girlfriend or wife, whatever, did you sleep on the flight? And she said, no, I only slept 40 minutes. And he said, well, I didn't sleep at all. Like, he literally asked her if she slept, waited for her answer, and she said only 40 minutes, which is so little that he couldn't even go less than that. So he just goes, well, I don't sleep at all. Like, he almost started speaking before she finished getting out the 40 minutes comment. He like talked over her to tell her that he didn't sleep at all. Like, it was, and it made me chuckle, and it made me so happy to know that we're not the only couple in the world that does that. Because he could have just said, like, oh, I didn't sleep at all on that flight. But he wanted her to say how much she slept so that he could one-up her. And it was a very funny moment for me to see that other couples do that too and watch it in real time. And it made me miss Eric a lot. So I'm very glad I get to go home and see him tonight. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about. Well, there's a lot of other things I wanted to talk about, but I think I'm going to have to stop talking after this because I am so uncomfortable. It's like distracting. I feel like this can't be an enjoyable podcast to listen to because I'm just so embarrassed right now. Like doing this on the plane in my seat in front of people. Like I really am so embarrassed. I'm so uncomfortable. There's like literally a woman staring at me. She keeps glaring at me and I'm so scared of her. She looks like her name would be Deborah. I think her name is Deborah. Anyway, oh my God, she's getting up. Oh my God, is she going to talk to me? I'm so scared. Is she about to come yell at me? I'm very scared. Hold on. We have to pause for a minute. Oh my God. No. Okay. She's just going to the bathroom. False alarm. False alarm. Oh my gosh. Deborah is so angry. And Deborah is definitely sitting next to a Chad, like full blown. His name has to be Chad. There's no other option. I would maybe Brad, but like definitely Chad. And that man, young man, he is drinking. He is drinking. He is listening to his music. He is jamming. And his legs are spread. He is taking up the most amount possible room he can on this flight with his body. The most amount of airspace. Anyway, so Chad and Deborah are judging me, so I'm going to have to go soon. But what I was going to say is that I noticed something on the flight from Paris to Washington, D.C. I get the same feeling of fear and panic when flight attendants walk up and down the aisle to do their checks that I got when I was in high school, when a teacher was walking up and down the aisles of the desks to check and see if people were cheating. Every time the flight attendants walk down to look and make sure your seatbelts are fastened and like your tray tables are up and all the things they have to do before we can take off or land or if there's turbulence, whatever. I always follow the rules. I'm a big rule follower. I'm very scared of breaking rules. But I feel like every time they do those checks, I always have my seatbelt on, but I'm so nervous I'm going to get in trouble. And I get like full of panic and fear. And I just like the way that they walked down the aisle, like peeking down at the chairs, like and looking and checking on everyone and doing their literal job as they should, terrifies me. And it's the only other time I've ever felt like that is when I was in high school and I'd be taking a test and it was quiet, or you're reading. It was just anytime it was quiet in the classroom, working on a worksheet, working in a group, taking a test, anything like that. And the teacher's walking up and down the aisles and checks on all the different desks but doesn't say anything. It's just like kind of walking around and like viewing the situation. I would feel this. I'd feel so panicked. I couldn't even focus. I couldn't, like, I was so scared I was getting in trouble for something. I don't know what. You know what? There's another time, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, where I kind of feel this way too. Oh no, Teenie just started laughing. I wonder if she can hear me. Can you hear me? No, she can't. Okay, Teenie's just laughing at her show. But anyway, the only other time I have that feeling that I can think of right now, and it's not as extreme as it is on airplanes and classrooms, but when I am in a Target, Walmart, just any kind of big store where they have those people, Costco, not that I go there very often, but anytime they have those stores where there's like someone at the door to check your bags and to check your receipt and make sure that like you didn't steal anything or that everything in your receipt matches your bag, whatever they're doing, I am terrified they're going to catch me stealing, even though I obviously would not go to Target and shoplift things. I don't go anywhere and shoplift anything, but for some reason, whenever I leave and they're gonna check my bags, or if there's those like security cameras or security alarms, I always think I'm gonna set it off, even though I absolutely would never steal anything. And I have that same sense of like panic and fear of getting in trouble in that scenario as well. Like, I'm so afraid that those people are gonna find something in my bag or accuse me of stealing, or I will have accidentally stolen something. I think that's the big fear, is that I think that like somehow I accidentally have stolen something. I don't know how. Like, I feel like something may like accidentally get into my pocket or into my bag, or it's so irrational. It's so banana pants, but like I legit think that. Anyway, clearly I might need a little bit more therapy than I have. And I'm gonna go because Chad is staring at me and Deborah's trying to sleep and the flight attendant is about to get in trouble really bad right now. Look, phew, that was a close one. You see that? He walked right past. He walked fast. he didn't even like look in my aisle, so like I think I'm good. But anyway, I'm gonna go, and maybe I'll podcast more once we land in LA in the car, because we still have to get to LA and then we have to have a long drive. So maybe I'll podcast a little bit more in the car. This podcast episode is so unhinged. It is so all over the place. But hey, it is what it is. And I hope someone out there is enjoying it, if anyone is watching it or listening to it. I don't know. Okay. I'll see you guys or talk to you guys later. Bye. Okay. If you're watching this bizarro episode of this podcast, you'll see that I am not in a car like I said I was going to be the next time you saw me. I'm at home and I'm here with my lovey.
Hello.
And so I'm just, it's midnight. I'm very tired. Eric's very tired. But look, he gave me Mother's Day roses and a Mother's Day present, which I still have to open, and Mother's Day cookies, even though he made me cookies, you guys, even though this saint of a man stayed home with all the kids so that I could go have this glorious Mother's Day trip to see
Mother's Day wrapping. Look at that.
It's Santa Claus wrapping paper. Anyway, he's so sweet. It made me cry when I got home and I saw that he had a present for me, even though I just literally went to Paris to see Taylor Swift and Disneyland. And now, sorry, this episode was super wonky, bizarro town USA. But next week we'll be back in full swing. Me and Mr. Carrot will give you a fabulous episode full of laughter and joy and all the good things. So leave lots of wonderful comments for us to read and react to next week. You can ask us anything you want in the questions and the comments. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for being patient with the weirdest episode of this podcast ever. Bye.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.